This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm Chris Pajak. Liverpool have beaten Tottenham by 2-1, and we are proudly backed by The Athletic, the home of football writing. You can get 50% off your yearly subscription, taking it down to around £2.50 a month by visiting www.theathletic.co.uk/RedmenTV. Some of the best writers in the world, no ads, no annoying pop-ups, but I am here and I am joined by Emma Sanders, by Kieran Gething and by Sam Walker for this one. Nice easy win then, Emma.
Yeah, decent win. Big win as well, especially that, you know, we've got Man City coming up soon, so... top of the table, 6 points clear, happy days.
Oh, mate, it was, like, they scored early, didn't they? And you're sort of thinking to yourself, well, I think some people would have been thinking to themselves, oh, bloody hell, is it going to be one of them days? And yeah, it just wasn't, and we don't have them days anymore, do we?
Yeah, I mean, there were so many chances as well in the first half that you just thought, at some point, Liverpool are going to score. I'm surprised it took that long, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, it was a sloppy start. And it was one of those, like, really kind of moments. But, yeah, Liverpool were the better team throughout. I think I tweeted some stats at half-time and it was ridiculous. Like, the average positions for Tottenham were, like, basically in their own half. And it was just, you know, they were all over them. So, yeah, comfortable win.
Kieran, starting 11. It went back to the same old, same old.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed Lovren started. I think I'd preferred to see Gomez start. But... apart from that, yeah, it's just the team almost picks itself, doesn't it? You know, you might want to see Ox in there a bit more often now, but I prefer seeing him with that workhorse midfield. I do enjoy watching it. Like,
what is it you like about that midfield?
Just the effort they put on you. Like, whenever Henderson scores, I just can't wipe a smile off my face. I'm absolutely screaming every time he scores, and it was a beauty he got yesterday. But it just feel strong, and I feel more comfortable when you've got people that are always running, and that's what a midfield doing.
Were you surprised at the start 11, Sam?
Yeah, I'm, especially because Lovren played against Genk. I didn't think he'd play two games running. He doesn't usually, does he? Can we finally disperse that he's the fourth choice now?
Or do you think he's third choice?
Maybe there's not a third and fourth, maybe. It just seems that even last year, when he was fit, he came in. He wasn't fit a lot last year, was he? He had a lot of injuries, but I'm not sure. I was convinced it was Matip, and I've been away at the weekend, so I wasn't sure what was going on pre-game, but when you don't see Matip, you just automatically think Gomez. Mm. All the build-up, oh, I'd rather see Gomez than... But yeah, he's straight in there, and I'm not going to lie, like, I flapped it. Kane loves Lovren. And Klopp just seems to just keep picking him against Spurs, doesn't he? So maybe just giving him a shot, giving him a chance. We'll give you an early goal and see how it goes from there. But yeah, for me, Gomez every time if I was picking. But
when
that's why
when you're thinking of Gomez, you've got to think about the future, haven't you?
Yeah,
You know, Lovren's really great as a backup and as a fourth choice. But for me, you've got to start Gomez because I want him to get a really good rapport with Van Dijk again, like he did.
Yeah, and to progress. Yeah, but it's interesting though that Klopp said beforehand that Gomez has sort of not been quite at it. I can't remember the exact quote that he said, but he sort of suggested that, you know, he's not quite been at it in training. So, which, you know,
that's a bit of a concern, really, isn't it, though?
Yeah, I mean, and there's reports that have come out. I think it was 90 Minutes that posted a story about Arsenal. Yeah, sort of a gossip story saying that he's not happy, which is a load of rubbish. But, I mean, I think he's obviously come back from injury. It's, I mean, we're still only 10 games in, so it's not like it's, you know, mid-season. So I guess this is kind of his fourth or fifth game, really, isn't it? Because he's kind of started a little bit late because of the injury. So it's, you know, he's going to take a bit of time to get up to speed. And I think he's just struggled. So I actually, like, while I agree, I think on the whole you want Gomez to be starting, I actually agreed with Lovren starting yesterday because I just think he's probably the player that's more informed.
I was really surprised that it was Lovren. And listen, I know that, like, last season, certainly, Sam, I remember sitting here having this conversation with you. When Lovren was fit, he was playing a lot of the time last season, wasn't he? But for me, as you kind of mentioned there, that battle with Harry Kane, there only ever seems to be one winner. And as the first half started, you know, Harry Kane just kept on backing into Lovren, kept on winning those headers and stuff. And I thought it was a mistake by Klopp to pick Lovren in that game because of it. As the game wore on, I think he got better, if I'm honest, and I think Lovren grew into it a little bit more. This is a lad who's not had a lot of football either, to be fair to Lovren. But I said on the instant match reaction, and I want your opinions on this, actually. I'll start with you, Sam. I think Lovren is a really good defender in a team that plays against sides who are better than them.
I agree, because where did he come from? Southampton, and that's where he excelled. And do you know what? There's a lot of players like that around the league, which we don't need to go into, but there is, isn't there? When you think about it, when they change, they struggle a bit. Do you know what it could be? He is quite strong, Lovren, isn't he? He's a big lad. You know, whoever Liverpool play against, Kane or whoever the other forward is going to put themselves on, not Van Dijk. And you've just got to wonder whether a combination of either confidence and or strength has made the reason why he's picked Lovren, because Kane's a strong lad. And if he's thinking, Lovren might win a few more battles in the game, which just might be enough for us to get through it. Whereas if Gomez, maybe he feels, isn't quite as strong as Lovren, even if he's much quicker, and maybe suffering a little bit in confidence, if you, like you were saying, he's not quite at it at the moment, that might have just swayed his decision. Other than that, after having seen the game again this morning, I think he did all right. He did well. He gets in the hustle and bustle a bit too much, doesn't he? But I thought he played quite well. Because he gets picked on by the strikers, and Van Dijk almost gets away with it sometimes, doesn't he? Because he's that good.
Yeah, no one wants to go up against Van Dijk, do they, care? I think everyone knows just how good Virgil is. So when you're looking at it, and when they're playing one up top, I mean, if I was Harry Kane and I'm looking at the two centre halves, I ain't going anywhere near Virgil Van Dijk.
Well, he's a big old goose, isn't he? Don't want to go near him anyway. Yeah, it's got to be hard for anyone who partners Van Dijk, you know, because all the attention is going to be on you. Off the attacking team, so maybe Van Dijk's got to try and shoulder a bit more responsibility in that sense. Because I, as good as a player Van Dijk is, and as confident in everything he is, for me, the last couple of games, he seemed to look at being more attacking than staying back and sort of picking up the strikers. Like you say, if he does stay back a bit more and give more defensive support, Kane isn't probably going to get as much joy against whoever he partners when it's just Lovren.
The other thing that I find quite interesting, Emma, is that, you know, not only does the attacker pick on him, but when a team gives Liverpool the ball, they're always leaving one man over, and you're never going to give Virgil the ball to play the ball out of defence, are you? Which means it's always going to be the other centre-half. So you think of it earlier on in the season, Matip's the one who strides forward with the ball, doesn't he? Because they give him space and they go on, you beat us. And that's okay, Matip's a really good passer and I like him coming out from the back and he does these mazy dribbles sometimes and stuff like that. But when it's Lovren, then you can understand why they're doing that, because he got to one point where he got to the edge of the box and was like, there's still no fucking tackle here. And he thought about shooting. And you're thinking, please, Damian, do not shoot. Please, whatever you do. Yeah. But it's difficult for Lovren because he's a centre-half and he's a defender. Yeah. He's not like a ball-playing centre-half. He wants a fight, basically, doesn't he?
Well, that's it. I mean, Matip, he's a ball-playing centre-back, isn't he? Whereas, like, say, Lovren, he's an out-and-out defender. He reminds me a lot of Skrtel in the sense that he's very good at making up for mistakes, but, he makes a lot of them in the first place. Yeah, so... was it Paolo Maldini who used to say, you know, if you have to make loads of tackles, it's because you were in the wrong position in the first place. And that is kind of how I see Lovren. So I completely agree with that. And that obviously does limit a little bit Liverpool's playing, especially yesterday in the first half, where I thought midfield were very passive, apart from Fabinho, who, by the way, best defensive midfielder and / creative midfielder ever.
Like, we'll talk about him later, don't worry about
that. Yeah, I wanted to talk about him for the entire show, fine. But yeah, so like, I think obviously it does limit Liverpool a little bit in that sense, if you haven't got that kind of ball playing centre back. But I don't think, look, I'm a fan of Gomez, but I don't think he would have necessarily fared better against Kane yesterday, in my opinion, because of the strength that you were talking about.
The only time, there was a couple of times, but the one big one where you saw and you're thinking Gomez is where Son just absolutely toasts Lovren from a 5-yard gap. And Alisson does really well, actually, to push him wider than he needed to be. Lovren done well covering, so if the shot would have been 3 or 4 yards lower, he might have headed it clear, but he got left for dead there.
Yeah.
And against Son, at that point when I saw that, I thought to myself straight away, that wouldn't have happened if it was Gomez, because even if he was 3 yards in front, he would have got there before Son, because he's rapid.
Yeah.
What a player Son is, though. Oh. I remember playing on FIFA, I can't remember what year it was. You've got to play a year. We need to sign him up.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, he is. He's fantastic. I think he's probably one of the only attacking players that could get into our team straight away.
Be perfect.
Could fit in the system and do well. Yeah.
He's got the pace, he's got the skill. I mean, even the shot that he takes for their first goal, he cuts it back on such an angle past Henderson that you're thinking, has this got away from him a little bit? And he still manages to turn his body. He hits the crossbar then and Kane nods it in. And Sam, it was a pretty poor fucking start from Liverpool, but equally, it was a mad goal to concede, wasn't it?
I never like blaming people on that. People will go, like, all the pundits in the studio will go, he should have been doing that. Bollocks. If you hit the ball towards goal, it hits someone's shoulder, then it's the bar and bounces down. No one in the world of football is marking anyone. It's just chaos for a minute. First minute of the game, it happens. If they were going to score a goal early on, that was how it was going to happen. They were never going to carve us open that early on in the game, anyway, maybe on the counter-attack. But for me, it was just absolutely bizarre. You take it, you move on, it happens. You go, almost look, last week we conceded an unlucky goal. Different reasons. Good football from United, but it was a poor decision. Again, it had to be something bizarre to catch us out like that. And it was. And like you said before, Emma, from that point on, we pushed them back and we did our job. You can't really argue, can you?
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about, and it's coming off that first goal, Emma, I'll start with you on this one. And I'd like everybody's opinions on this. I've got this feeling that, I think everyone saw it yesterday. Tottenham started time wasting from the minute he'd scored the goal. Right, and is this a sign of how good Liverpool are now, that you get one goal up against Liverpool and you panic and start to try and hold on for 89 minutes? And I'll caveat it with a few different things. For a couple of years now, we've been saying no one goes at City. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like teams are really going at us. Tottenham should have gone at us yesterday because they might have been 2-0 up. But they get a goal up and they shit themselves and think, fucking hell, we're winning against Liverpool Football Club, the best team in the country. We've got to sit and we've got to defend this. And it just plays into our hands, because then we have 45 minutes until half time of just bombing on and pressing them. And is it a sign of how good we are?
Yeah, I think it is. And I don't think you can blame Tottenham either, because, they've gone to Anfield and they've gone a goal up. I mean, it's hard to not, in your mindset, not go like, we need to keep this lead. United did it at Old Trafford last weekend. To think that Liverpool would go to, obviously times have changed now, but even 5 years ago, Liverpool going to Old Trafford and then them scoring and then sitting back for the second half. That was, those things just didn't really happen. But Liverpool are that good, we've got so many different styles of play, in the sense that Trent and Robbo are incredible at putting in these balls from wide areas that, and we've got these ball-playing centre-backs with Matip and Van Dijk and Fabinho, who can just pick out passes from basically the top of the main stand. So it's like you can either ping balls over the top, you can play out wide with your wide players and just ping balls in, or we've got the creativity with our front players, especially with Firmino, with these little tricks on the edge of the box because he comes out to get the ball from midfield. So you've got all these different options where you can play through the middle, out wide, over the top. It's so difficult to defend against Liverpool. So teams go, look, our best chance is probably not to have them on the counter-attack because they've got the best three forwards in Europe at the moment. Maybe if we sit back and there, we just have to hope that their full-backs aren't up to scratch in terms of crossing. I mean, that's a high-risk football, but it's probably the best thing to do against Liverpool, because if we get them on the break, then, devastating.
Kieran, does this have anything to do with it? Let's see if this works. When did Liverpool last lose a Premier League game at Anfield?
April 23rd, 2017. According to Forbes, the last time Liverpool lost a game at home in the Premier League was April 23rd, 2017, when Crystal Palace won 2-1.
April the 23rd, 2017, Kieran, we last won.
That's 45 league games, by the way.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, Google. Fucking Google. I should have just asked you, shouldn't I? I might have known the fucking proper journalist.
She knows the
score,
she knows got booked as well.
Does that all add into it, Kieran? Oh. 2017, April 23rd.
It feels like an invincible sort of atmosphere. You know, you can say words like fortress when people come to Anfield, you know what I mean? And, you know, Tottenham had a good 48 seconds in the first half, and I was just like, dead, you know what I mean?
I've got a kid off a good 48 seconds. I've got two. Yeah, two. Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah,
hey.
I know, from a sporting sense, I know how you would feel, like, in terms of, I've been in the ring sparring with some guys who are really, really good operators, and I felt overwhelmed and I land a jab on him. I think, round done. I'm on the defensive now. So don't touch me again, do you know what I mean? I beat you in today. But, and I can understand why they go a goal up and they think, right, that's it. We're done. We're old in this. We're going to do. It's like what, like a bit like what Jose Mourinho would do, you know what I mean? Mm. Park the bus. But yeah, you can understand why they do it. And It does go into what you say. Liverpool are that good. When they do it, when they get that goal, they think, we've just got to hold this now. We just want to, we want to take something from this game. Even if they know they might concede a goal, they're still hoping they get a point out of it, let alone three. You know what I mean?
But the kind of back to my original point, does this not just play into our hands when teams do this?
Well, it's bizarre, really, because with Spurs, they've been so terribly defensively this season. Why would you go into like sort of retreat mode? Because for them, who've got, look at the all four played, didn't they? Eriksen, Ali, Kane, and Son. Yeah. You go 1-0 up. I mean, the only thing is, you're looking at the clock, think, shit, we've still got 90 odd minutes left. A whole game.
There's times when I think Liverpool look really open, and I think, oh my God, anyone could score against this. But they don't, they sit back.
But it's also the crowd, though, isn't it? Yeah. So 1-0 up, if Anfield ever needed an extra kick, there we go. Do you know what I mean? Straight away, that you know full well, then you're getting a rowdy crowd. Probably more so than it would have been if it was 0-0 after 20 and we went 1-0 up. Because we've got something to fight for now, and I'm sure we'll talk about the shambolic Arsenal fans later. But we're the opposite. We will get behind the lads, no matter who's playing, and getting them on. And I think
it was kind of too early for them to score, really, wasn't it?
Coming back to it, there's a couple of things. I think with teams, it's very difficult to come against us. When we play the Brexit midfield with the new Fabinho, which is, by the way, you know, considering it's been getting called the Brexit midfield, we haven't got knocked out of Europe since it's been playing, but anyway, the balance we have with those players, if you sit back, it just gives Henderson and Ronaldo 10 yards. If you come at us, Henderson and Ronaldo will cover, and their fullbacks love it and get up. I don't think there's a way, without just going gung-ho, which I'm sure the only way City will maybe do it in a few weeks, unless you go absolutely gung-ho and just overwhelm us with pressure and score two or three goals, I don't see how you beat Liverpool at Anfield. I genuinely can't see how we lose a game at Anfield.
And Tottenham's strengths are probably on the break as well, I would say, especially with Son making those runs in behind. So maybe they thought, if we sit back, soak up a little bit of pressure and then get them on the break, we might get that second goal, which they almost did, to be fair, when Son hit the crossbar. When we hadn't scored and he could have put that, you know, that could have been 2-0, then you could have gone, Tottenham had the right game plan then.
But their defence was never going to keep us out, was
it? That's the problem. Yeah, you've got to be that good, which, like you say, it's probably only really City who can be that good.
Especially it's the pressure as well.
Aurier
that we put
on.
Did you see the Sky thing?
No.
Keane. Oh.
Oh, I've heard of it.
What a guy. Yeah. Called the fullbacks Dumb and Dumber. He went, I call him Dumb and Dumber.
Just doesn't give a fuck, does he? How is there not a no context Roy Keane?
Oh, it's got to be. Right.
He's brilliant.
Someone out there do it.
He is brilliant.
I'd never liked him for Man United, obviously.
He's a legend.
But on the camera, doing interviews and all, he is fantastic.
He just doesn't give a fuck.
No,
he's just like,
not okay
stupid question.
Shit. Was it Graham Souness? He went to Starbucks last week.
He's got Souness back up as well.
What did he say? What are you laughing at?
And even Sue was like,
I mean, he's a terrifying human being.
Yeah, yeah. Keane.
Yeah. You see when he went, just Tottenham are in disarray. Just go and get him. 200 million. Go and sign him. I honestly think Woodward was like, all right, Keane, give me a minute.
That was a brilliant accent, by the way.
Yeah, please brilliant. Cut that out.
I tell you who had a good game. Their backup goalkeeper. Oh. I mean, let's talk a little bit about the first.
He was
their
best player, wasn't he?
Yeah. Easy. Well, he was my man of the match.
Oh, mate, I've got some stats for you. Right, talk a little bit about Gazzaniga.
Okay.
For me,
do you want me to tell you the stats for you? No, don't.
Unless you're using XG build-up.
He made 12 shots, 12 saves in total.
Right.
And I think the last time someone did that was United against Liverpool.
Okay.
In 2016.
Was that at Anfield? That was one of them.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Right.
No. So I can't remember the date.
No, I don't think we won the game, though. I remember that.
You know when he came up on the last minute went for the corner? I thought he's going to top a good game off for himself.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was fantastic.
He was brilliant.
He was definitely their best player.
Yeah, that double save was amazing as well, wasn't it? That one where like Salah hit it and it sort of deflected out to Firmino
and
at the near post.
Lloris' form. You know, there's no reason he can't keep his place now. Mm.
He's captain, though, and that's what you think, isn't he? Yeah, he's captain.
Yeah, he's captain.
Granit Xhaka's captain. I don't think he's getting his place next week.
Right, so this Gazzaniga stat comes courtesy of Andrew Beasley. He put it out on Twitter last night. Brilliant follow if you're a Red. So if does anyone know what XG chain is? And obviously everyone knows what expected goals is, and it's the chain of events, and you can be further down the list. Not only did Gazzaniga make 12 saves?
12 saves.
He was also their most creative player with 0.46 XG chain. The next highest, I can't see it. It's too small, to be honest with you. Yeah. So it's just ridiculous that he was like one of their most creative players and also managed to save about 11 or 12 things as well.
He said that chance we were just talking about, that was his kick.
For the Son one?
Yeah.
It was an easy long ball over the top, really, wasn't it? But I've got a list of some outstanding saves. Double save from the Salah Bobby 1-2. I mean, that's a brilliant 1-2, first of all. Bobby with the filth again. Van Dijk header, which was
a worldie.
Trent one from just outside the box, which was an absolute rocket.
That was like the Wanyama one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bobby header at the back stick. Bobby where he almost megs him from the throw-in.
I don't know why that out, by the way.
He sat on it, I was going to say. He's that good that he saves it with his bum.
Wijnaldum close range header.
Yeah.
I mean,
forgot about that one.
And then Mane probably should have scored as well first half. But one of the big things that I was thinking about, Emma, when we were in half time, I was texting a mate of mine, I was saying, like, look, I don't think Liverpool need to change this. Mm. I'd imagine that Twitter was going mental for Keita and it was going probably mental for Ox or something. But the amount of chances that we created first half, I was in no doubt that the team and the setup was absolutely perfect for going against them.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I did want to see the Ox come on, but that was only because I thought Wijnaldum and Henderson had a poor first half and they completely turned it around. Like, Henderson was like 8 out of 10 in the second half.
Someone tweeted, but I cannot believe Henderson is still playing. He's so poor. I'm just definitely going to get yanked after that half. Boom, left foot. Okay.
6 minutes in. So I did want to see Oxlade-Chamberlain come on. But I agree, at the same time, at no point did I think Liverpool aren't going to score, because the chances they had were just, I mean, it was, if they had had those chances against any other team with a goalkeeper who wasn't basically having the game of his life, then they would have been 4-0 up at half time, at least.
I think
4-1.
I think Lloris throws the ball into the back of the net, Kieran, at least 3 times in that first half.
Yeah. I honestly,
with both of his arms.
I wouldn't even class Lloris on that top. That's harsh as hell. bad. I wouldn't class Lloris on that top echelon of top goalkeepers.
I think he was a few years ago.
Hang on a minute, isn't he in the Ballon d'Or list?
he is.
Yeah, but that basically proves his point. The Ballon d'Or is a load of rubbish.
It's just from the final, isn't it? To the final. Yeah.
How did the off topic here? How did the Ballon d'Or become the Ballon d'Or? If you know what I mean, it's just a magazine in France. Isn't it?
It used to be, that's why Michael Owens won it. It was just a magazine in France. It used to be the FIFA award. So when Ronaldo R9, we used to win it and all them. I remember because he's like my favourite player, and it was the FIFA World Player of the Year. That was the one. So the one that Messi's just won was the one.
The best, they call it now.
And they changed, I don't know if they combined it or something happened, and then the Ballon d'Or became, it was probably Messi or Cristiano, probably some endorsements happened when they won it. And
that sounds better, doesn't it? The best award.
So it is just a magazine.
It does sound terrible, the best award.
Whoever done the marketing on that wants to fucking sack, I think.
So, all right, okay, we've talked a little bit about Gazzaniga and how good he was. We come out at half-time. We nearly concede a goal, don't we, from the Son chance. Mm-hmm. There's a potential penalty, Sam, on Virgil van Dijk with a Sanchez arm to the face. Did you see that one?
It's bizarre because over the weekend, some of the pens that were given were softer than that. Mm. So, but I'd rather that not get given for the sake of football, so to speak. So no, I'm saying no for that one, and Salah, yes, because he still pulled him.
The one where he fights and stays on his feet, is that one?
Yeah, the one where
I cannot believe. Right, they made a big deal about Kane going down with the. Almost an elbow to his face.
A stroke
and then
in the cheek.
Salah, yeah, exactly. Salah is getting ragged. I've seen rugby players throwing tackles like that. Yeah. And he didn't even get a look in about it. Didn't he mention it? Oh, mate, fucking
he's
sick.
Not from England, to be
Let's
fair.
Not talk about rugby at the moment, are you?
Yeah. Fuck off. No, let's not.
Good job you're not a Cardiff City fan.
No.
As well, didn't they lose to Swansea yesterday?
Cardiff
lost to Swansea. So if you were a Cardiff fan and a Wales rugby fan, that was a terrible day.
Bunch of my friends didn't have a nice day.
I can imagine. Listen, one of the things that's come out of the weekend, and we'll talk a little bit about it later on and stuff, is the VAR stuff. And what I realised yesterday, after seeing that one in German football where the sub gives a penalty away.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see that one?
Yeah. Touching it back in.
I would be the worst referee in the world because I base it on feelings now and again. So I felt that was harsh. So I wouldn't have given it. Right. I'd be the most inconsistent referee ever. Because the rule says if a player who's a substitute interferes with play, then it's a free kick.
Wasn't it like a gnat's cock from going out, though?
Yeah, it is.
But how was the penalty, though?
Because it was happened in the area.
He's on the
goal line in the area and stops the ball going out of play. He basically passes it back to the ref for a goal kick or a corner or whatever.
Surely be an indirect free kick. Oh.
Right, so as the rules state, and I'd be like, nah, I'm not having that. It was going out anyway. But the whole point is that they don't get in the way of the game. But, you know, it's a proper thing, isn't it? Mm. And then, like, the Harry Kane one, I'm like, I'm not giving that. The Salah one, I'll give that. Like, the Everton one from the weekend, I wouldn't give that, even though it was a kick. He steps on him, doesn't he?
On his foot,
I wouldn't give that, but is it a foul? I don't
know. Is it an infringement?
It's
too subjective. I agree. If it's an infringement. Like the Zaha one, clear as day. Mm. Yeah. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's ridiculous that he even booked him. That's embarrassing. Yeah. But the Everton one wasn't a... it was like two guys kind of jumped and one... It wasn't a foul. He didn't stop him. It just kind of happened, if you know what I mean.
It fell over.
It wasn't like, I'm going to try and get the ball and miss it like our one. It was... No, it was an accident. It just kind of happened and it didn't stop a goal-scoring chance, really, did it?
But if I accidentally elbow someone in the face... Right, that looks a lot worse.
You do that to
and
Russell,
it's a foul. No, that's meant. it looks bad, and you'd probably think, well, accidental or not, you shouldn't have your elbows up there.
I'd
be far too subjective, and this is the problem with VAR. I think, and what I've come to realise is, you're still
it's not
asking
just VAR,
some.
It's football, isn't it? In
well,
general?
You're asking somebody to look at the VAR.
Yeah.
And that person will be subjective.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's the problem for me.
You've got two different VAR's opinions.
VAR is great at offsides because you're not asking a person to do anything. Mm. You're asking the computer to tell you whether he's offside or not.
I like it for the hand rule because if that rule's going to be introduced, then it works.
Exactly. At least it is what it is.
Right, I don't mind it, but
why is it different?
Yeah, I like that.
Let's I hear you talking about this.
Oh, you've got a bit passionate the other day.
If it just hits your hand in the box and you're not going to score, carry on if you score. But if you're going to score a goal and you use your hand, think about if we were playing 5-a-side footy, Chris, they'd be murdered for 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Defo.
So that's so bit. But if the ball comes over and the defender, it accidentally hits Sam, but it doesn't stop a chance if it's kind of going that way. Then I don't see why, because it doesn't lead to a goal. If the ball comes over and say Mane's about to score and it slaps the hand, Yeah, it's a penalty because you just stopped the goal scoring chance. Mm. So if it's directly leading to a goal, it's a pen or a free kick. If it's just hit your hand in the box, I think it shouldn't go for either team.
Mm. But what if it just hit your hand in the box for an attacker?
Then carry on.
But that's not the rule, is it?
No, so if the ball comes over and it hits Manny's hand, then he gets it, passes it to Firmino, then he chips it to Salah and he heads it in. It's a goal. It's only if it directly, literally leads to the goal. So from the City one that they go against Spurs and to Mane's one, it's real that. Because it literally, the ball come off, was it Rodri's hand that went straight to Jesus who scores? Or Mane controls it and scores. But if there's a ping around after that, no, I think it's just carried on.
Okay, that makes
sense. It's got to be direct. I'm sure the rule is directly leading to a goal.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, the main thing really in all of this is consistency. Mm. Like when we, you know, brought up rugby then, rugby's a perfect example that...
Again?
Like the referees... Sorry, mate. The referees... They just go with a decision, but they're consistent, and you've got respect
more,
there.
There's a lot more intricated respect from the fans mm-hmm. and from the players. You do not get the players running up to and go, "Ref, yeah. What the fuck are you doing?" Because refs say, "Oh, you wet? No, fuck off."
Exactly, just, but, you know, but that has been born from the fact that these referees have consistency.
Yeah,
like whether or not you disagree or you agree, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day. Those referees will make that decision again in the next match and again in the next match and again in the next match. In football, that doesn't happen. So the players, who, and I agree, are at fault because they shouldn't be encouraging this, but it's hard for them to not react emotionally because if they see a decision, like you say, there was softer ones given this weekend and then Van Dijk's been hit in the face and I don't think that's a penalty at all. Like, you can understand why Liverpool players will be emotionally kind of why isn't that a penalty? Because there's been softer decisions being given. So there's absolutely no consistency in the league. And that's the main problem for me.
Emma, as a journalist, you've obviously seen VAR's implementation up close. You obviously work the games and quite often work during the games and stuff. So was there a change in VAR this weekend in how it was implemented?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't think so. I don't think there was a change. I think it's getting to the point now where referees, the longer it's been on, referees are now scared to make a decision because they've got this backup of VAR. So instead of making a decision, they go to VAR. And there's certain instances where if the referee doesn't say it's a penalty, then the way that the question is asked with VAR, VAR can't award a penalty. They can just say whether or not the decision was correct or not, if that makes sense. So they kind of avoid having to make a decision because they've got this second opinion, which they can...
But the second opinion seems to be just backing up the referee's first opinion.
Until this weekend.
Until this weekend.
And what happened last weekend? The foul. I think that's been the catalyst.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I see what people are saying. I don't think they have changed it. I think it's, as in, I don't think anyone has said, right, we're going to do it differently this weekend. I think it's a subconscious thing where the referees are shitting themselves.
So how would you explain, Emma, the non-goal for Socrates in the Arsenal game?
I didn't see that, to be fair.
So
I watched it and I didn't fucking see what was wrong with it.
Someone, there was argy-bargy in the area, a goal was given from Socrates. It was argy bargy. I think it might have been Chambers again, actually.
It was.
And the referee doesn't go over to the screen. I'm not sure he's allowed to go over to the screen. I'm sure I saw someone on BT Sports saying that they're not allowed to go to the screen in the Premier League. It's how they implement it.
No, it's not.
No, that's the whole point, is that they should go.
I was watching a match today this morning. He said the only way they go over to the screen is if he speaks to the VAR and says what he's seen.
And he doesn't agree.
If the VAR says something that the ref hasn't seen, like, say, for instance, no, what's happened is Chambers has elbowed him in the face. If the ref hasn't seen that bit, he will then use the second screen, say. Mm-hmm. But if he says, I thought there was a kick there, or he says, I thought it was a goal, and he says, what we've seen is they're coming together in the box, and it looks like Chambers has hooked and pushed, whoever, if Kale was it, something like that. Then if the ref says, yeah, that sounds about what I've seen, I'll go with your call. If he says, no, I didn't think I saw that, then he'd go over.
So...
I don't think the referee should watch it anyway. Which one was this one then I'm thinking of now?
Okay, so he then rules that one out. Let's talk about the Zaha one quickly. Because he books Zaha for diving.
Yeah.
Doesn't go over to the screen and then takes the VAR's decision of penalty and takes the booking away.
Surely that one should have been a screen job.
If anything
gets overturned, they should go over and check it in any instance, if that's the thing.
That's what they said this morning.
I just think the referee should have a look anyway. If it's 50-50, then just go and have a look.
What, 30 seconds for him to take a little jog over, take a look?
I suppose with that one, if he says, nah, you got that wrong, he absolutely nailed him. Yeah. You know, fair enough then. Because it's like one or the other, isn't it?
The VAR referee could have literally said that was a fucking joke of a decision. You need to take that booking back and give a penalty because I don't know how you've made this shit up.
On something like that, it's more clear, but on the Chambers one, just take the ref, take a look.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think it was a foul?
The Chambers one?
Yeah.
No, not really. No. But then, there's contact in the box, and this is why I'd be a terrible ref, because I'm like, well, it's 6-1 half of the dozen of the other, in my opinion. It's why I'd be terrible at that, and I've forgotten the phrase, I wouldn't want to be a referee.
Oh, it's the hardest job.
There's no chance I'd want to do that job, like, because it's just not worth it.
Look, like Emma said, you need consistency, and there's no clear outline as to what a foul in the box is, or do you know what I mean? There's nothing clear to tell us that that's a penalty and that's not a penalty.
It should just be
if I do that, that's a penalty. Unless I do that, that's no penalty. You know what I mean? That's going to be different.
I know you lost at the weekend.
Did you lose at the weekend?
Not me, you prick. The rugby, you fucking...
Oh, I thought you were just...
I was going to say,
Sam.
Before we carry on, 22nd of November.
Yes. Thank you, Chris. 22nd November, I'm fighting in something called the Golden Contract, which is a tournament set up by MTK, biggest management team in the world.
Take it to yours.
Yes.
You want them to be yours.
No, they are, man. they've set up a Golden Contract, and the winner of the tournament gets a five-fight deal worth $500,000 dollars or pounds, one or the other. Not that matters, like, you know what I mean? Over the next 2 years, I think. So I've got I'm in the reserve fight for the tournament, and it gives me an opportunity to be a part of it. And if I win this fight, then I've got a real chance of being in the main tournament. So
and you're on Sky Sports as well.
November 22nd.
Brilliant.
Tune in and watch it, please.
You will do. You're a mad boxing fan, aren't you?
I missed it. We'll talk about that. I missed the fight this weekend.
Yeah. Right, back onto the Liverpool game then. Hendo scores. His doubters will be gutted. Every one of his fans will be absolutely made up. If there's nothing else, he knows how to celebrate
I mean, it's the ultimate shithousery as well. He's gone, right, I'm just going to piss everyone off for the first half an hour playing really, really shit. And then come on in the second half and then score like a half volley and slot it into the bottom
with
corner.
With his left foot?
Yeah, with his left foot. Screaming. And then run off like I've won the Champions League for the second time.
Yeah. I'm surprised he's never done the old day.
Yeah, no, I've always been a big fan of Henderson. I think it was always difficult for him to come in, take over from Gerrard. That is the ultimate hardest job. You know, it's like with United, any manager coming in and taking over Ferguson. And it's just, I just think he's given so much stick and I don't really understand it. Like I said, I thought he was poor in the first half. Same with Wijnaldum, though. And Klopp backed him and said, no, you're my captain, go out there, do better in the second half. And that's exactly what he did. What more do you want from him?
No, I mean, listen, look, everybody knows I get called Jordan Henderson fan TV, for God's sakes. And I just think he's a really good footballer. I think he does a job for the team. Yeah, I think there are more talented midfielders out there. There are maybe more hard-working midfielders, than him. But what the job that he does for the team is second to none for me. I think he goes out there each and every week, and whether he has a good game or a bad game, he never shakes it. The highest of his responsibilities, he's always up in the ref's face when you need him to. And it was a captain's like performance for me, and a captain's like goal. And you know, another player that played really well in the middle of the park. I know this is probably your favourite segment of the show, and I think he chips the ball in. Originally, is Fabinho for that one. There's probably a foul on Bobby, maybe.
Yes.
Build up to
him. I thought it was a foul. And who gives a shit after he's going right? Like, but you know, I think there's opportunity there for him to be pulled back if he does mess up the shot. Like,
yeah.
What about Fabinho then, Sam? What did you make of his performance?
He just oozes quality, doesn't he? He's just everything from his positioning to his getting his head up before the ball comes to him. He knows when to dangle a leg out. He's like the opposite of Lovren. He knows exactly when to engage and when to stand back.
Yeah.
I can't pick a fault in his game, apart from, you know, if he doesn't bang a volley in like against the weekend.
Yeah,
he
doesn't score enough goals.
But it's who does from that position?
Exactly.
You know, he's unbelievable. I think probably at the moment on form, there's nobody in world football who eclipses him in that number six position. Mm. He's just and is. His relationship with Henderson and Wijnaldum is perfect as well. Mm. They all set the balance for each other. I actually thought midweek, he was good, but because Ox and Keita just loved it, getting forward and stuff, it does expose him more with Henderson and Wijnaldum. He just knows where they are all the time, and it's a perfect fit.
One of the things I noticed, and I was sat in a different seat yesterday. I was in the Upper Kenny for the first time, and must be Villarreal 3-0. Did we beat them in the semis of the Europa League? I think that was the last time I sat in the Upper Kenny. Yeah. And I noticed him being loud and talking and stuff, because normally I'm in the cop or something, or the Annie Road, and you can't quite see all the time what the midfielders are doing. But where I was, he was really annoyed with the centre-halves at times. Van Dijk, Lovren, he was shouting at Trent as well, and he was going to them constantly, hurry up, fucking play the ball. It's there, you're going to play the ball, play it faster. And you could see him, and he's like, just come on, we're going too slow here. And that was all the way through the first half. And he's got that leadership about him as well, and he's got the vision. We know about his creativity and how good he is at winning the ball back. But also, one of the things that I love about this Liverpool side, there's loads of leaders all the way through it, and he's one of them.
Yeah, definitely, completely agree with that. And he's like the opposite of any normal Brazilian as well. So he's not this like...
Left doing a dirty work.
Yeah, I was going to say like...
You are forgetting Dunga. The captain of the 1994 winning Brazil side. Yeah, you're showing your age a bit, Sam.
I was going to say,
he was
like,
a hell of a DM, wasn't he?
I was born about 3 months before that, Chris. So. obviously he's got that creative side to him. And like you say, you can play these balls from anywhere. And he's got an eye for the game. His positioning, like you're saying, Sam, is brilliant. But he just does the dirty work. He comes in, he just smashes into people, gets back up, and he's like, just plays a worldie of a pass. And I really love watching footballers do that. I used to play as like a kind of a holding midfielder when I was about 7.
We had 10 forwards and a goalkeeper in my team.
This is me in my dreams. If I could be a footballer, I would be Fabinho, basically.
Really? Wow,
bold. Slash bold. Fabinho, because they're both amazing. But like one or the other.
But if you had to pick one.
Oh, Firmino.
Bobby.
Firmino, right. So all that was
because of the hair, innit?
No.
Smoke, basically, because you want to be Firmino anyway.
Yeah. Similar sounding names, that'll do.
Yeah, but basically, like, if you want a holding midfielder, you want somebody who's going to come in, smash into people fairly, by the way, and then, you know, come out with the ball and then play, you know, these really cool, composed passes that just open up the play. And he does that so effortlessly. And that's the best thing about it, is that he barely really breaks a sweat while he's doing it. And he reminds me a lot about Van Dijk in the way that he sort of carries himself on the pitch.
And he's still yet to be beaten in the Premier League when he started the game, I believe.
Fabinho is.
Yeah.
Didn't play against City. Start,
it's madness. I mean, we signed him last summer. Now, yeah. You know, we've been playing over a year and yeah, we haven't lost many games in the Premier League, to be fair. But yeah, since he's been a starter, I mean, he's just come in and we win loads more games than we used to. We're not drawing as many games and he's made a massive, massive difference to the way Liverpool play can.
Yeah, he's great to watch. And it's like that area from his sock to his shorts just seems to get longer every time someone runs past him. You know?
What's that air Street Fighter guy?
Regardless of whatever superhero he's like, he's fantastic, and you'd much rather him be in your team than against him. You know, it's like Fernandinho a couple of seasons ago was a really good, solid guy. Every time he got a ball, he turned around and try and put it up the field. And Fabinho, like you said, plays a fantastic pass. Stops everything.
There's a question mark, Sam, around Fabinho, because I was told last night that the cards don't count in the Capital One Cup and stuff anymore, the competition specific. I think that's right, isn't it?
I asked this question in the office the other day and didn't get an answer, so I'm not entirely sure.
So basically, he's got one more yellow card and then he misses a game. Now, if it is competition specific, I genuinely wouldn't play him against Villa, because he can pick a yellow card up in the next league game against City. Yeah. Mm. I think we've got a really interesting...
Yeah.
selection there. If they're not competition specific, he has to pick a yellow card up to miss the Villa game.
Yeah.
But either way, he's missing the Villa game, if the competition specific or not. I was surprised he didn't get a yellow card at the end of that game, if I'm honest.
The flip side is, though, you've not really seen Klopp do things like that, have you?
Yeah.
Because we've all kind of had discussions about it, whether it's online or to each other, about that kind of thing in the past, being like a bit shit hours, we like that. And I've never really seen Klopp do it. I think you're more likely to see, if he plays against Villa, to play, and then if we're winning the game, maybe to go, okay, well, I'll bring on Milner or Henderson or Wijnaldum and sort of give him a blow because of that. Also, we've got a Champions League game for that. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we probably should do that, but I think Klopp will back him not to get booked.
Yeah, it'll be interesting that, because I agree. I don't think that's thoughts even crossed. Klopp's mind.
He doesn't think two games ahead.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, he thinks each game. And, like, I'm sure he's well aware of the situation, but I agree. I think he's got such a high sort of moral grounding that he's not going to, at no point will he think.
Well, listen, if Klopp's not going to think about it, we need to start as fans tweeting FSG. If we can tweet them about signing Royce, we need to tweet them about make sure Fabinho doesn't fucking pick up a yellow card and don't play
Fabinho
him.
Fabinho out.
Fabinho out is the hashtag. Peter Moore on Twitter, FSG, Linda, all of them. Start tweeting them and make sure the Klopp does not pick Fabinho to get a yellow card against Villa. I want to see Lallana in the fucking seats.
So against the United game, I was doing the live text on the BBC website, and I basically put in when Lallana came on, 1-0 down at Old Trafford. Nobody wants Adam Lallana to come on here. And then he went and scored. So basically, I just need to do that every time
Lallana comes on.
Yeah, anytime he comes on.
I mean, I'm glad that it happens to you as well as me, because I'm
literally
the worst. It
happens every single time.
Listen, it's the BBC. There's only 400,000 people reading that one wasn't there?
I did have to apologise, and then people were like directly tweeting me saying, like, I bet you feel really good about yourself. And I was like, yeah, because it's just come on, it's called an equaliser at Old Trafford, so I feel quite
all you're watching the game, though, and you're a Liverpool fan, why would you suddenly think, man, you away, I'm going to switch off and start abusing someone on text?
Yeah.
At least it's after the game. Like, you're watching the game, it's man, you away. Why would you think that's, like, smart?
Weirdos, aren't
they? One of the other things that we need to talk about is, after Liverpool got their first goal, Sam, did you think there was anything other than a home win on the cards?
No, 100%. I thought we were going to win the game. I was watching it on the plane because we just landed. And as soon as it went 1-1, that was it. We knew, we were all the lads, we were game over. and you just knew. In fact, I thought we'd get two or three, to be honest. I thought yeah. Spurs, because when you win him for 60 minutes, well, more, it was about 60, it was 50.
56 yeah. minutes. And
but
then...
it was pretty close because they scored so early. And then you concede away at Liverpool, and you know everyone knows how last time we lost stuff like that.
Didn't Neville say that when they score one, they're gonna score two?
Did he? Yeah,
yeah, I think he did.
I don't know. Should we ask Stato Sanders over here?
I don't watch Sky Sports.
Of course.
No, joking.
BBC for life. Yeah. Five, you know what I mean?
Five lane, isn't it? Will you?
Yeah, no, we actually have like a different feed, so I actually don't watch Sky.
Oh, all right.
Why's
so
that?
I like because
just competitive.
It's slightly early. It's about 20 seconds earlier.
Than Sky.
Yeah.
Well, because it's our own camera feed,
It
comes through our system a lot quicker. So obviously mm-hmm. what you watch on TV will be slower than the actual original feed.
Is that why the goal always comes up on my phone before I've seen the fucking goal scored?
Sometimes, yeah. Well, that might just be...
so annoying, that does.
Yeah. Do you stream, though?
Because I was going to say, like if you're streaming, that'll be
so
why.
Is it not
why I was streaming?
Sky's cameras then or something at the ground?
No, so like Sky will have their cameras and then we'll have our own for match of the day. So then ours come through a different feed. Mm. Okay. So we have like our own kind of feed.
You're on 6G.
Yeah, 6G. Anyway, moving on.
And then finally, obviously, we need to talk about Mane. When you need someone to step up, Kieran, Mane is the guy. And he goes into that area and he drives in past their centre-half. And well, right back actually, was it Aurier?
Yeah, Aurier.
And then penalty?
Yes. Mane's just clever. Everyone said it. Match of the day have said it. As soon as Mane sees that opportunity, stepping in there, he knows Aurier is just going to try and boot it away. And I do feel bad for him. I feel quite bad for Aurier because he's pulling his leg back. He's hardly swung it. And Mane's leg right in front of him, taps him, boom, down. But it's an obvious penalty. Mane's earned it. Aurier hasn't properly conceded
it. For me, Sam, it was a foul. There was no malice. There was no intent of foul. But ultimately, it was a foul.
Yeah, you can't. If you go to play the ball, you can't not get the ball and kick someone on the back of the calf. And it almost hit both legs, didn't it?
Yeah.
I think that was absolutely stonewall. I think.
Yeah.
Even if there was no VAR, I think 9 out of 10 refs are given that. It's obvious. Mm-hmm. Ball's there. Man's there.
There actually was a VAR. It lasted about 3 seconds because it was that clear. It was that obvious.
I just no argument.
And then Salah's pen, Emma. Gazzaniga forgets to dive, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I love Salah basically just goes, I'm just going to smash this and hope for the best.
He almost took the back end.
Yeah, but I'm always terrified watching Salah take a penalty because you're like, this is either going basically all the way to the A1 or it's going in the back of the net and it's going to smash the net. It's one or the other and he seems to just smash it every time. It's amazing.
What I don't understand, and I had a little laugh at Gazzaniga, and I'm going to give Tom a little bit of time to try and rearrange the camera, is he standing there, the ball goes here, and instead of moving his foot that's dead close to the ball, he decides to go with his hand.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a goalkeeper do that in that situation, and I thought it was really strange.
But I think that's because he hit it so hard. I actually don't think he saw that until... Because when he watched it in real time, I thought it was in the bottom corner.
Yeah,
and then you watch the replay and you're like, right, oh, it's actually right next to him. So it's going that fast.
Ian Wright was saying, I think it was Ian Wright on Match of the Day, that when he's doing his little bounce, the timing of his bounce was unfortunate for him because Salah almost strikes
as he's up
on his toes, and then he can't, it's too fast.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, that interests me. I think you have to bounce as a goalkeeper, but if you're bouncing, I think you have to dive. I don't see the point in bouncing if you're not going to dive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I think he probably had the intention to. But because Salah hit it that quickly, with that much pace, he was probably about to dive and was like, oh, wait, it's already in the back of the net.
I think he might have thought he was going straight because was the final penalty quite straight? I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Probably. I don't know.
Maybe he just thought he's going to whack it and I'm just going to make myself as big as...
I mean, he hits a lot down the middle, doesn't he? Because he just does hit it. He doesn't place it. So he does go more centrally.
There's got to be a lot of confidence as well.
Yeah,
I know exactly what I got.
Yeah, but I actually, it's interesting that you say that because I actually think he's less confident because he does that. I know what you're saying, but I think
he's not confident in it.
Yeah, because I think if you're confident, like Milner or like De Bruyne has done this in the past, like you slot it into those corners every time. But I think if you're not as confident, you just sort of you hit it as centrally kind of as possible, just get it on target and with enough pace that.
Goes past him.
Yeah.
The Salah thing's mad for me because I keep thinking that he's a bad penalty taker, but I think he's only missed one or two for us. And it's mad. He does just smash them, and thankfully he did. Obviously, we go 2-1 up. And then Spurs changed it. Spurs come out at us. And I actually got a little bit worried towards the end of the game because we lost control of the game. We ended up bringing James Milner on. I can't remember if that was before or after. It must have been after because he'd have taken the penalty, I suppose.
Yeah. It was straight after the penalty.
Was it?
Yeah.
And then Milner's brilliant because he just picks up bookings. Like, he got booked like for something. It was a blatant, like, he knew he was getting the yellow card. Then he got fouled in the corner flag and got booked after he'd been fouled. And I've never seen that happen before because the referee played on, didn't he, after the foul? Yeah. Oh. So then he goes down the other end and he's shielding it and gets fouled and then ends up getting booked. And, like, the Tottenham player who's down the corner is like, why are you booking? He's like, no, I'm booking Milner for that tackle. And I'm like, that's funny. And then he digs the corner and just does it again.
He's just like a little juggernaut, isn't he?
Oh, he's just, he's a fucking winner, Kieran.
Yeah, he knows what to do, doesn't he? He knows what he's there for. And if we're putting him on at that time, then it's probably to stop them scoring. Yeah. You're not going to be putting Milner on to get another goal here. And he's on there to control the game, and he sees he's making a good break down the wing, and just, bam, straight away, takes him out. Lovely job, and then I think the crowd must have thought he was getting a card for diving or something. He's like, what are you doing? No, you slammed him right down here. But yeah, he's a fantastic player, knows exactly what to do. I think he's won everything apart from a World Cup, maybe.
and a Euros.
Oh, right, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, he's just
like we're asked if England win a World Cup.
Forget that.
you're English almost Welsh, people ever. And anyway, in a week's time, we might do.
Yeah, fuck off. You'll be getting a fucking sparring session. No, he's
Lad, have you seen me fight? I'm the Pink Whisperer,
me,
lads, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
The first time he's on you, you called yourself the Pink Whisperer. I thought you were like calling yourself a fanny.
Can we get this trending on Twitter?
No, we've got other things to do. We need Fabinho to get in touch with FSG for being out. We can only push one thing at a time.
Well, why don't we get him taken off and put the Pink Whisperer on?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, the Pink Whisperer is only for the boxing ring. I fought Leon McKenzie, former Norwich player and now boxer.
Still
a boxer?
He's retired now.
Oh, is he retired? That's what happens when you fight the Pink Whisperer. Videos available on YouTube. If you just type in, don't type in the Pink Whisperer. Yeah. I don't know what will come
oh,
up.
Oh, God, yeah, that's dangerous.
Make sure you type in Redmen TV, Leon McKenzie, you'll get to see me fight Leon McKenzie. You'll get to see him absolutely win the shit out of Paul Machen, which is absolutely fantastic. And you'll get to see him knock out Charlie from Ball Street with a body shot, which is just brilliant. It's edited, so you can't see the 7 minutes he's lying on the floor trying to breathe for. But trust me, it was there and it was fantastic. Boom! Oh! Straight down. Anyway, I didn't think we'd be talking about Leon McKenzie on today's show. I thought we'd be talking about Gazzaniga coming up for the corner kick, and the crowd, including me, going, shoot! When Alisson gets it, and everyone's like,
imagine he scored, like,
oh my God, we were all amazing. Like, shoot! And then he holds on the ball, fair play, lad. That's probably the wise decision.
Carrius would have definitely shot there.
Oh, he definitely would have, yeah.
Kicked it out for a corner.
He kicked it long, and it went about just over the halfway, and I was like, yeah, probably a good decision not to shoot there.
Best thing though, isn't it, when a goalkeeper comes up? Like, we genuinely in the office go like, goalkeeper's coming up for the corner, and everyone turns over to that screen.
But what's the point?
They never scored.
Imagine though, if they score, you're flying, aren't you?
Like, yeah, a goalkeeper scoring is like the most beautiful thing in football, I think.
Not Fabinho.
Oh, okay, but
Firmino.
And Firmino.
You'll be playing for the third place playoff in the rugby playoff the weekend. You'll probably like that. Sam.
Shut up, Pink Whisperer.
Another 3 points for the mighty Reds. Continue our unbeaten run to start the Premier League season. We're 6 points top of the league. We show character, we show drive, we show determination once again. And just another great weekend's football from Liverpool point of view.
We just keep showing more ways of doing it, don't we? I wouldn't say we. Someone said we. What's the word they use? We just managed to like get through these games and we.
Kane, I think, on it.
Grind out the results.
Kane said we're getting lucky.
I'm not saying we grind. You know, we grind that result. I thought we deserved to win the match. When
yeah.
Goalie makes all them saves and we create loads of chances and Manny's missing sitters. You know, we deserve to win that game of football. All the statistics will say so. The players will feel that way. But, I mean, it just shows you, I saw on Match of the Day, I was like, Sky actually. I saw McTominay still talking about how he thought, man, you deserve to win in their post Norwich, you know, just shows you where we're at when our old rivals, not anymore, are talking about a point they got at home against us when they got battered the week after. Mm. That's where Liverpool are right now.
They're getting in teams' heads, aren't they? It's just that mentality thing.
Yeah.
And have you seen the stat that says the teams we played compared to the teams City have played? Played Tottenham, Chelsea, United, Leicester. I think there was another one on the list. And Man City have played Tottenham and got a draw against them. Mm. You know what I mean? That's the tricky teams we've already played.
And those wins against Sheffield United and stuff like that, they're looking like bloody Chelsea, good wins as well.
That win away at Chelsea's massive.
Yeah, the win away at Chelsea, I think, was probably the best result of the season. Because that, yeah, I think that's set up then.
Chelsea are a cracking team.
They're flying.
Yeah, really I
enjoy watching
really
them.
Well.
And I've always hated Chelsea. Yeah. My mum has always hated Chelsea. So I've inherited that. But since Frank Lampard's taken over and he's put those kids on, it's hard not to support young people doing well, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Okay, a little bit around the weekend clashes then. Arsenal drew 2-0 with Crystal Palace. They're funny. We'll talk more about them on the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show, which we're about to go into. Man United beat Norwich by 3-1. Apparently two penalties saved as well for Norwich in that one.
Tim Krul is like the new legend.
He was standing in front of Rashford when he took it, though.
step off his leg again.
Well, Rashford does one of those shuffles, and every time he does a step, so does Krul. But if I'm the ref, I can see why they let him, because if you're doing that on your run-up, what's the goal he's supposed to do? But he does take a good 3 or 4 steps forward before he saves
does
it.
Does he, yeah. Tim Krul's the goalkeeper that got brought on by Van Gaal in the Holland side, isn't he, for saving penalties and stuff.
He's City against Liverpool in the opening game as well.
Yeah.
City beat Aston Villa by 3-0, and Chelsea beat Burnley by 4-2. So we've got the Round the League show later on today going on the redmentv.com. We'll be discussing all of that, all of those games and more that's come out of the weekend's football, and stuff promises to be a brilliant show. Don't forget to check out The Athletic as well. You can get 50% off your yearly subscription. Take it down to about £2.50 a month. www.theathletic.co.uk/redmentv. Link in the description as well. Thank you very much to Emma, to Kieran, and to Sam for this one. We're going to film the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show now. Like the video, and we'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.